I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten, and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
So sharing our story is really like reprogramming ourselves to understand who we truly are on an authentic level, what lights us up, not what the world has told us, not what our parents have told us, not what media tells us we should or shouldn't be. And it's really just trying to understand who we are at our core.
You're listening to Make Some Noise podcast, episode number 588 with guest Courtney Myers.
Welcome to Make Some Noise podcast, your guide for strategies, tools, and insight to empower yourself. I'm your host, Andrea Owen, global speaker, entrepreneur, life coach since 2007, and author of 3 books that have been translated into 18 languages and are available in 22 countries. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a lesson that will help you maximize unshakable confidence, master resilience, and make some noise in your life. You ready? Let's go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so glad that you're here. So guess what? We started the live streams. Did you miss it last week? That's okay if you did, because I'm going to be doing them every Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon Eastern time. Might be a different time for you, but I'm going live on Facebook, on my Facebook page. You can go in there and search Your Kick-Ass Life with Andrea Owen. My personal Facebook profile, if we are Facebook friends, or Instagram or TikTok, all of those places, I am just whoring myself out all over social media to be live with you, to be able to teach. And I'll always have like a topic that I'm riffing on. It might have something to do with that episode, that week's minisode. And I'm going to be answering your questions. So if you have a burning question, you know what I want to try to figure out to do is to have you come on the live with me if you want, consensually, of course. So we'll figure out how to do that. But again, Wednesdays at noon Eastern time, I would love, love, love to see you there. Even if you can just come for a few minutes to say hello, please do. And the other thing is that I have one opening for one-on-one coaching right now. I have a couple people who have scheduled consultations. So if you want to make sure that you get in to have some support this spring, please head on over to AndreaOwen.com/links, where you'll find everything to be able to read a little bit more about it, see if it's for you, and fill out an application. Those applications come directly to me. So you can be as open and vulnerable as you'd like. And we will hop on a quick Zoom call to see if coaching is for you. AndreaOwen.com/links. All right, let's get into it with this week's guest. Courtney Myers is just a delight. She is a delight, and I'm so glad that I asked her to come on the show. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Courtney Myers is an Emmy-nominated writer and producer with 18-plus years working with some of the biggest names in Hollywood. She is a best-selling ghostwriter, authoring her debut novel and host of the breakout podcast, Intentional Living with Courtney Myers, which, P.S., I've been a guest on. A wife and mother of two, Courtney is a California native living in Tennessee on a mission of growth, healing, and soul searching, striving to help others connect to their most authentic self, unleash their voice, and live a life they love. So without further ado, here is Courtney. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to join you today.
I am too. Maybe it's partly because it's a little mysterious what we're going to talk about, because I know, you know, we can sort of dip our hands in a few things. You have been
working with a ghostwriter, right? A celebrity ghostwriter?
Well, I don't know if it's celebrity, but yes, I am a ghostwriter. I've ghostwritten quite a few books. I've written my own that we could talk about that later. But yeah, I'm like hesitant to push like, yes, send this out to the world because it's just so personal. But yeah, yes. And I come from Hollywood. I come from the world of Hollywood. I wrote for 18 years for you name it. I've done it, the show. So yeah, I'm a writer.
I knew you were a writer and a ghostwriter, and I know that you talk a lot about story. So why don't we start there? Because I think that I know my audience follows a lot of Brené Brown's work, you know, and she talks about, you know, owning your story. And some people have asked me, like, what does that actually mean? Mm. So how do you define that? When you say, you know, I know a large part of your work is like sharing your story. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Does that mean like, here's all of my deepest, darkest secrets? Does that mean like who they are authentically? Can you talk about that?
Well, I think that's the big thing. I think a lot of the times we think sharing our story is sharing our deepest, darkest secrets or all the negative or all the yuck
and all the trauma.
Yeah. And we all have it. Like, let's be real. We all have it. And so while I say, and I invite you to open up that, I also invite you to open up the good. You know, so often we downplay all the cool things and all the good things that we've done about ourselves that we don't like build ourselves up. So it's a balance of like all the like dirty, dark secrets that we think that no one wants to hear, which actually people want to hear. And I'm not talking about gossip. It's just owning your story and owning that yuck helps you connect and see people on a different level, but also owning the light, owning the good stuff helps you connect because then people, that gives you a platform and it holds space for other people to say, yeah, like I did that too. And I'm proud of myself. So I think it's a good mix of like the whole you. But the thing is, when we share our story, so often we aren't actually sharing our story and our truth. And that's the big thing. We're starting to say things that have been programmed into us. We share the story of what we've been told about our lives or what we're supposed to be doing. And we don't understand who we truly are within. So sharing our story is really like reprogramming ourselves to understand who we truly are on an authentic level, what lights us up, not what the world has told us, not what our parents have told us, not what media tells us we should or shouldn't be. And it's really just trying to understand who we are at our core and like what like resonates and feels real to you.
That made me think of, thank you for sharing that perspective. Yeah. And it made me think of a question that I saw probably somewhere online within the last few weeks or so. Someone said, okay, if you had to introduce yourself and you had to leave out that you are either a mother or a partner or what you do for a living, like those roles cannot be part of your introduction, what would you say? And even I was stumped, like someone who works in personal development, you know, like yeah. I've done a lot of really great, cool things, but I connect those things to my job. And so to really sort of like parse that back was so hard. So it sounds like that's sort of what you're pointing to, like finding out who you are.
Yeah. I mean, what did you say in that moment?
I didn't. I saw somebody saying that question. Yeah. I wasn't asked in an interview. Like if I was asked that in an interview, I would be like, I'm going to need a minute and I'm going to need post-production to take all this part out of me, like trying to unpack what the answer is to this. I don't know, like in a pinch, I would probably say, you know, I'm a student of life. Like I'm ever evolving. Many, many times I am a hypocrite, you know, because like, I'll say one thing and do another and just messy and alive. And, you know, I don't know, just so many just human things.
But that's the thing to me is it's usually the simplest questions like that that are absolutely the hardest to answer. I mean, I've been through years of therapy.
That's why I love life coaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been through years of therapy. I've had, you know, world-class mentors. I've been doing this for a long time as well. And like when someone comes to you and says, like, what makes you happy? I'm like, I like puzzles. Like, it's like crickets. And I can talk. I've been a talker my whole life. But you know, when you're put on the spot like that, or you're actually asked what your story is or who you are, like, the first thing we would go to, I'm a mom. I'm, you know, a writer. I'm this, like, but who am I? Like, we don't know that. And just like you, I'm a hypocrite. Like I teach it, I push it, I coach you through it. But like, am I doing it myself? Even even right now, it's like, who am I? You look at my social media, I'm a platform for so many other people to share their voice, but like, where is mine? And that's something mm-hmm. I'm just currently leaning into, like getting comfortable with sharing who I am. That's huge. And that takes courage.
Yeah. And also, I think for me, I was a early adopter in the world of blogging. Mm-hmm. And so I know like the early adopters were like early 2000s. I was 2007. And I was telling my story on there. I was talking about my eating disorder symptoms and what that looked like. I was talking about, you know, my first marriage had just ended a year or two prior. And I was talking about that too, and just the heartbreak and the grief and the trauma and drama and all of that. And people were taken aback. Mm-hmm. Like, let me tell you, especially like some of my family members, they were like, what are you doing? Like airing out all of your quote unquote dirty laundry. And, you know, Brené hadn't even broken out yet to talk about vulnerability. But the reason I did it, and I think there are still some people, even though it's many years later and it's become so much more normal to do that, I think still people cringe at the thought of, and I really don't think that airing out all of your stories on a public platform is for everyone. I just mm-hmm. want to say that real quick. But I the reason that I did it was because I felt like if I didn't get these stories out, like if I didn't share this part of myself, that, and this might sound super dramatic, like, but I felt like I would just die. And I feel like, you know, if you look into IFS work, internal family systems and like parts work, there was a part of me that was just dying to be heard and seen in my stories of triumph and pain and like my desires and what I wanted and for my family, like all these things. And I do think there's still people probably listening who are in that place where they want to share their story and they just are so afraid to.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is the audience. You know, I think we think about who we are going to affect when we share our story, what we're saying. It's a ripple effect. Our lives aren't singular. We don't live in this little box. So if you're sharing a story about a divorce or an eating disorder, like people are going to see the whole picture. You're going to see your parents are going to be involved in that. Your partner's going to be involved in that. And so it's kind of like almost the people closest to us who know it are the ones that are harder. It's hardest to overcome when you're sharing your story is to being like having them hear it. Like I can walk down the street and share my story with a stranger and they're not going to see me tomorrow. And it's not a big deal. Like whatever. I can give you everything. I could tell you I'm on anti-anxiety medication. I could tell you I declared bankruptcy at 24 years old. I could tell you all these like horrible things that I had a drinking problem in college. Like I could tell you all of this stuff and I could save face and walk down the street. But if I say that and my mom hears it or my dad hears it or my sister hears it or my grandparents hear it, all of a sudden then it's like the doors start closing up. It gets scary mm-hmm. because you have to see those people again. And I think that's where mm-hmm. that courage to get vulnerable is. And I don't think sharing our story is all about the negative. But if you're not being honest, you are dying inside. My mentor said that to me a couple months ago, that like you were dying inside because I was not sharing who I truly was. And when we don't share who we are, we kind of like wither away. We have to be honest.
Well, what advice do you give to people? Because I get this question a lot and I have my own opinion and I've shared it here on the show. But anytime I get a writer, especially if talking about sharing your story, I want to ask this question to hear people's different perspectives is, what advice do you have for somebody who maybe wants to write a memoir and they want to self-publish it or even just like start a Substack or something like that, or even just share on Facebook a little bit more when part of their story will either involve and or impact someone else? Mm. So, you know, if you're talking about a divorce, you are talking about an ex-spouse mm-hmm. and that can get dicey, you know, especially if you have kids and things like that. So what advice, and I'm sure it's pretty nuanced, but like, do you have any advice for people like that who are afraid to tell their story because of other people?
I say, start telling your story to yourself first. Get comfortable with what that story is and come from a place of intention, not intention to hurt, intention to share your truth. Some truths can be hurtful and we all have our own perception. That's the thing is like what we may think we're going through, like our spouse might not even know, like you're going through a divorce. Your spouse might not have seen it that way. We all are living our own life and it's all in the way we perceive it. So what might've hurt us, they might've thought was nothing. So I would say just really start to get comfortable with yourself. I think journaling is a great, I always talk about journaling. Journaling is a great way just to like get those thoughts out, reread them. I hate the thought of like rereading because too much because we can edit ourselves then, and then we lose a little bit of that authenticity. But rereading and see how it resonates and sit. Like, are you being hurtful in the way you're saying it? Are you just trying to get out some bad emotions that you just are mad in the moment? Like, write it down, take a breath, take a step away, come look at it again and see where you're coming from. And if you're with a pure heart and you're coming in with intention to, you know, just share your truth and not necessarily like bash someone, then share it. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but if you're willing to put it out into the world, you better be willing to talk to someone face to face with it.
I love the part that you said about your intentions, mm-hmm. because I know that when my first marriage dissolved, and if I would have written about that, and if I would have written about it at length, mm-hmm. it would have, and publicly, it would have been absolutely in retaliation.
Yeah.
Like that would have been my intention. So it's taken me 16, 17 years now, and I'm like 60,000 words into a memoir. And my intention now is very much, because I've heard so many women have the same story that I do, I want to talk about like the wisdom in retrospect that I have now. It's like, why did I stay for so long when I knew that I should walk away, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. So I really like that advice. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about change. Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal and that they won't already have, can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. All right. I know a big part of your work is navigating change. So can you talk about, like, can you give us some examples of what that might look like? And then I'm going to ask you for all of the advice, because as someone who's navigating change right now. Yeah. So tell us everything.
Well, I don't know if I can give you all the advice, because I think we're always, I'm navigating it too. We're always navigating change. That's the reality. That's life. Yeah. When we're living life, we're changing. If we're not changing, if we're not growing, then in my opinion, we're dying. So, I mean, we have to embrace change, and we have to embrace the changes of our life. Like, I made a big change, a huge change about almost 2 years ago now. I moved from Southern California, where I was born and raised. I grew up. I went to college there. Like, I went from San Diego to LA, just in between there. And 2 years ago, right after I had my second son, I up and moved to Tennessee. I don't know anyone. My whole family's still back in San Diego. Like, mm-hmm. everyone I know, that was my life. And I up and moved with my husband and my kids. And I'm still navigating that. While it was something I knew I needed to do to be able to find my voice and really stand on my own, because I was so entrenched in the family system of my role, of what I should be. And mm-hmm. I needed to change that. And I knew I couldn't do that staying where I was. I needed to shake things up. So I'm still navigating what it is to move through that change. It's a daily struggle. It's constantly learning, like, who I am now. And I think there's so many times in our life, whether it is motherhood, whether it's going through a divorce, whether it's moving, whether it's changing jobs, whether it's dealing with COVID, whether it's like, I want to paint my room. Like, there's an aspect of change that comes with it. And we need to just mm-hmm. like, I think, lean in with all that messiness and just embrace all of it that comes with it. Because I don't think there's a rule book on how any individual is supposed to change or supposed to navigate it. We're all different in that.
I agree with all of that. It's the leaning in, I think, that has been one of my major life lessons of just, it's been bestowed on me. But I'm like, I would rather resist. You know, I go kicking and screaming, which I think so many people can probably relate. And I think that when you're navigating a big change like that, like what you described, like moving across country for the first time in your entire life, and you are well into adulthood, mm-hmm. I've done that a couple of times. It's really hard, you know, or navigating the loss of a loved one or a divorce or going back to school or a pandemic and things like that. One of the things that has been helpful for me, for my friends to remind me of, especially now as I navigate my second divorce, is that it's a long game.
Mm.
And my friend Kate keeps reminding me of this, is that this, especially a process like a divorce where you've been married for a decade and a half, and it takes some time to unravel this, like legally, emotionally, logistically, there's many layers to it. And I think that sometimes we can have the expectation that we're just going to sort of plow through it. And like, if I have to face this thing head on, for fuck's sake, can it be over in like a month or two? I asked my therapist that the first time I got divorced, and I was like, how long is this going to take for me to get over?
Oh my goodness.
It was a legitimate question.
Yeah.
And she was like, there is no timeline on this. Like, have a seat. Like, you're going to be here for a while. So I think if you can remind yourself that it's a long game, for me, that's helpful and also frustrating, but I remind myself like how resilient I am. And sometimes my friends have to remind me of that because I'll forget.
Well, I also think it's also, you have to give yourself the time to mourn and to grieve what mm-hmm. was and what is becoming. I know mm-hmm. even with my change, it's not that I hated my life or I hated myself, like the move. I just know I was drawn to it. I needed to do it. And I actually brought this up. I don't know if it was in therapy or mentor or who I was talking to at the time, but it was one of those things. I said that I'm like, I'm mourning that person that I once was. And it's not that I didn't like them. It's just, I like this version. I love this version of me so much more. And so it's kind of like pulling out the positives and the light of that change, even if it is seems like a negative, like a death or, you know, a divorce. You know, there is something to it that is pushing you in that direction. And you have to ride that wave. And wherever you can is to find the light, find the beauty, find some sort of happiness in it. And that could just be, you know, okay, I'm getting divorced. Now I don't have to share my bed with someone that snores. You know, now I don't have to like fight in the middle of the night for the covers. I can stretch out and lay mm-hmm. diagonally if I want. And it seems silly and stupid, but like just that little thing could be like, okay, I'm going in the right direction.
To that gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time going on hikes mm-hmm. and walking, which I think has been really helpful, even though it's been freezing lately. But I also wanted to ask you about journaling, because you mentioned that. And I give that assignment out to many of my clients. And also, it's one of those things that I resist as well. So how do you do that? Like, what advice do you have for people around journaling, just in general?
Well, I mean, I resist it too. I say it's my superpower, and I talk about it like that's where I manifest everything amazing in my life. And even knowing that that's where all the good comes from when I write it down, because I'm moving that energy through my body onto the page and I'm kind of solidifying it, I still resist it. I have an alert in my phone every night to journal. Now, I know Julia Cameron talks about morning pages a lot. And for writers, most creatives will know about that. You know, you get up and you write your three pages and get all that stuff out of your head. I find that as a mom, as you know, with two young kids, business, all that stuff, it's really hard for me to do that. I enjoy it later in the day. I enjoy it at night. It gets, you know,
I've never done morning pages.
It's hard.
If anyone's wondering.
Yeah. I mean, I see the brilliance of it, but like to me, it's just, I'm also not a morning person. So it's like that end of the day download helps you get all the yuck out. Even as someone who promotes it, talks about it, like I still struggle with it. I set a reminder but things get busy. So I just invite you to realize the good that comes out of it, because when you do start to make it a practice, like magic happens. I cannot say that enough, but you have to prioritize it. And especially as women, we don't prioritize the things that help us, that make us good. We put everyone before us and it's hard. It's hard. So reminders, I mean, that's my biggest tool. And two other things I would say is I mean, I know no one can see me right now, but I'm holding my pen. I have a favorite pen and a favorite book that I use. And it's like my special pen. And like I buy pretty things around it, like my special journal, my special pen. I make it more of a routine and more of a ritual and something that's like self, you know, makes you feel good. Because it can be daunting. A lot of people will say, I'm not a writer and I don't know what to write. I'll push my husband to do it all the time. I'm like, just start writing a grocery list. Just write anything. The minute you just start putting the pen to paper, that's when the words start to flow. But just like, write, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, over and over and over again until the words come.
I was in a writing class one time and the exercise was write a story about lunchtime in elementary school. And I think like everyone can remember that, whether it's like, what did the lunchroom look like? Who were your friends? Like, is there anything in particular that stands out? Like, because I also grew up in Southern California and we had outside lunch area, but when it rained, we got to eat inside and it was like a very different experience. Yeah. And it was like, you know, just added to the dynamic and the energy. And so that can be helpful. It's funny that you say that. Just yesterday, I was, I think by accident, but also the universe is like, not on accident. My last really great year for many reasons was 2019. Mm. And I think you might know why. I might not be naming it in the last 3 years. Over the last year or so, I'm like racking my brain and I'm like, was it just because it was before the pandemic or like was something else going on in 2019 where I was just like kicking ass in all areas of my life? Will this ever happen to me again? And I was looking for something and I have many journals all over the place. And I opened up this one and I was like, oh yeah, I remember this journal. And I'm kind of like flipping through the pages and I look and there was a period of time for many months in 2019 where I was writing 10 of my goals every single goddamn day. Mm-hmm. They were the same 10 goals. And also, I don't remember how many things I wrote that I was grateful for. It could have been 3. It could have been 10. I don't remember. Page after page after page after page. I was diligent about it every single day. And I looked at the goals and I think I managed to check off 6 of them, 6 of the 10. Then it stopped. Mm. And the pandemic happened. And then I got sick. And then my marriage fell apart. And I'm not saying that the journaling, like the stopping of the journal, I mean, it was like a pandemic that happened. My point is that seeing that yesterday made me realize like, okay, this is something I can do that if nothing else, I know it makes me feel better. And chances are at least one of the 10 things on my list is going to come true just statistically. And just from the evidence that I have from, you know, quote unquote manifesting, which I want to ask you about too, but that just happened yesterday. So I'm so happy that we're having this conversation. Thank you for reminding us.
Well, it goes hand in hand with manifesting. I mean, literally the same thing happened to me. I have been really errant. I'm just so busy building everything. I mean, my life is crazy right now. So journaling has definitely taken a back seat. And I was just talking about this even earlier today. If I look back to some of the best and biggest things I've manifested in my life, it was because I was journaling daily, at least 20 minutes. I do 3 pages. I follow that, Julie. It's just kind of my thing. Do 3 pages, write 3 pages, and then you're done. But the majority of the great things that I have manifested since 2019 also have been things I wrote about and journaled about. It's crazy. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why we don't do this more. That and prayer. Like, I'm not a religious person. I didn't grow up going to church. I've kind of stumbled into it in the world of spirituality, the power of prayer. And it's foreign to me, so I don't gravitate to it much. But when I sit down and pray, so I have this like vision of what I want my day always to look like. And so, like I said, mm-hmm. I have the reminders in my phone. I have, you know, a morning prayer and a nightly journal. And usually I'm deleting those and not doing them. But yeah. when I do, when I get consistent about it, and I give even a small prayer in the morning of gratitude and, you know, what I hope the universe is going to provide for me, and then I journal about it later in the day, holy shit. Like, it's mm-hmm. magic. Why are we not doing this more? Why am I not doing this more? I know it. I have the proof. I have the evidence. Yeah, I'm not even living into that. And I think it's just so incredibly powerful, whether you're a writer or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It doesn't, you don't have to be a writer. I think this is where accountability can really come in handy. And if you have a coach, fantastic, but you don't even need to hire a coach. I think, you know, if you know anyone who would be interested in it, and maybe your partner is really into working out. And so they, you know, every Sunday night or something, you have a conversation with them and say, you know, how many workouts do you want to do this week? And they tell you, and then you say, okay, I'm going to journal every morning, and you hold each other accountable for those couple of goals. Do that. Mm. Or with your best friend or your coworker or your mom or your teenage kid, like anyone who can speak, I feel like, or sign language, like whatever it is. I was thinking, like, you know, your dog probably won't be able to help you with that, but you never know. There are those dogs that have learned how to like push buttons on and speak. So maybe they can help.
But maybe it's, you just set the intention. When I look at my dog at night when they're going to sleep, did I do it? You know, that can be your accountability.
The dog at the
yeah, like, yeah. like mm-hmm. it's that trigger making it true. Because like, if my husband tries to hold me accountable, I'm kind of like, give him a big F you. Like, it's just okay. not,
yeah.
like, it's kind of like that authority. Like, no, like, I don't have to do what you say. But if my friend texts me, hey, did you do this today? I'm going to do it. So you also have to find the right person. And it's nothing yeah. against my husband. And I know it comes out of love. He's actually just stopped. He's like, I'm not going to try and hold you accountable. I was trying to do 75 hard. And I gave up on it the other day because I just got so busy. I couldn't get that second workout in. And
it's a lot.
And I love some aspects of it, but like, it's not realistic.
I think even if you just do one of the workouts and the water and the personal development
and the book, the journal, yeah,
that's plenty.
It's amazing. And I love the theory of it, but it's really, I think, geared towards, you know, you're only taking care of yourself in life, and you can focus
single dudes only on yeah, you. Who don't have a partner, kids.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And a dog and school yeah. pickups and things like that. He was trying to hold me accountable because we were trying to do it together. And now he fell off the bandwagon too, even though he's actually done it in his past. It just doesn't work. I realized, I'm like, he's like, I'm not even going to try and hold you accountable.
There's some really cool apps that can do it too, but I would love to hear some of your manifesting stories. Cause I used to be super into it. And then I realized like how much of it is a little gross. And when I say it, I mean the law of attraction just in general. Like there's many aspects of it that I love and many aspects that I don't love. Like, no, I don't think that people manifest terminal illnesses or assault or things like that. And I also think it's like heavily cloaked in privilege. And I think it can work. I've done it before. So tell us like a couple of quick stories and like if you have any additional information for people.
Well, I agree with you about the thought of it. I mean, I think there's a lot about the spiritual world, the woo-woo world, even though I'm like really deep into it, that is not realistic and that it's kind of fake. I even think gratitude sometimes can be kind of fake. And I've been kind of put in my place. No, you have to make it a routine to make it real. But like some of this stuff seems so superficial. And yes, we're not going to manifest the bad things, but literally we are manifesting our life all day, every day. And that comes back full circle to the stories that we're telling ourselves. Whatever we're repeating in our head is what we're manifesting in our life. The good stuff. Like I said, my journal, I manifested a house right after the pandemic in the middle of Tennessee, sight unseen, when houses were prices were skyrocketing. I should have had to go $100,000 over asking, if not more, you know. I was journaling about it. I need a place for my family. I don't know where we're going to live. I sold my house. We're moving in 3 weeks. What's going to happen? Literally to the day, by journaling about that every single day for like a month, we got the house the way, you know, no changes necessary, at asking price with a closing date the day we were set to move. Like, I didn't know where we were going to live. I equate that all to journaling. And that's literally just asking for what I wanted. My son's dresser, when I was pregnant with him, I really wanted this Crate and Barrel green dresser. Like, I was obsessed with it, but I'm like, I'm not going to spend $1,500 on a child's room. Wow. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. And so I had it like on this little vision board, which I love vision boards, but I'm starting to now take them to a different level. I've been turned onto this idea of vision videos, which actually helps you kind of live yourself into that space more than just looking at a picture. Ooh. It's really cool. It's like taking almost scripting to another level. I love it. But I had this dresser on the wall and I was super pregnant. It was in the middle of COVID. My husband was like deathly afraid of me going outside in general because he's like, you're going to get COVID. You and the baby are going to die. You're going to be in the hospital. Yeah, so the like, so we didn't go out a ton. And then I had all these different dressers in like this Wayfair cart. And I kept trying to like push send on them or buy them and whatever. I kept getting error messages and it just wasn't working. And one morning my husband woke up and was like, let's go to the Crate and Barrel outlet down the street. Okay. We walk in excited that I get to get out of the house. You know, we walk in and the dresser is sitting there for like $700. And it was just like, things happen. And I saw this actually today. We need to be looking for the opportunities in every day. The stories we tell ourselves are going to present the things that we want to manifest in our lives, but we need to be aware enough to see the opportunities when they're presented so that we jump on them. Otherwise, we're going to miss them. And it's things like that, even with my house, like it kept coming up on Wayfair or not Wayfair, on Redfin over and over and over again. And I kept dismissing it because it like didn't have one little thing that I wanted or something, whatever the reason was. I even put an offer in on another house, but it kept being put in front of me. And finally, my husband's like, do you think that maybe the universe is trying to say this is our house? You know, it should have been gone. And so finally, you know, we pulled the trigger and got it. And it was so seamless. And I think we miss what manifestations really are. We miss what we're asking for by not being aware of the opportunities that are placed in front of us. So while, yes, I do agree with like living into the energy and being the energy, I think there's a lot of danger in that. I mean, I don't think we should be living as millionaires if we're not millionaires. That all that does is get us into debt. And so there's a lot of mixed messages out there about it. And so we need to really like look at it more of a practical sense, being more aware of the opportunities and the things that we're asking for.
I love that. And thank you for adding that little disclaimer of nuance. And yes, I've heard the advice of, or the even just the story of someone saying that she could not afford this car payment. And she went and put like all of her savings and bought like a BMW or something that she couldn't afford the payments. And then magically she ended up finding a way to pay them. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I would never advise a client or even a friend to do that.
Oh my goodness.
Act as if, girl, it's yours.
Yeah. Yeah. Go test drive the car, but don't, you know, I've heard that. I mean, I think I have Jen Sincero's book right here. You Are a Badass. And I think she talks about that. I haven't got to that point. My husband read it and was telling me the story. Like, yeah, she could have bought like the Honda that she could afford or the Audi that she
maybe
really
wanted. Maybe
that's where I
remember the story from. Yeah.
Yeah. And she ended up buying the Audi and was able to pay for it. But you know, there is a responsibility. Like we are manifesting everything and we're making those choices.
Can you say a little bit more about this vision video?
Oh my God. It is so.
How do you do it?
So I haven't done it yet. It was brought to me on my show where you take a video. You can just do it in Canva. Super simple. You don't have to have a big production background, but you take like pictures and things of like that you want in your life that you would put on a vision board. But then you also like literally like Photoshop yourself into those situations, but also mix it in with things that you have manifested in your life, like whether that's a relationship or the house or the kid, whatever it is that you wanted. So you kind of are bringing your bank.
So it's your reality and what you want.
Yes. And then you're putting it to music. So you're evoking the emotions, something that really like makes you feel good. You know, music, you just hear something and it takes you there. And then you only make it to about a minute to a minute and a half. So it's really quick. And all of us, I don't know very many of us that don't go to our phone first thing in the morning. You put it on your phone and instead of checking social media first thing, you look at that first thing in the morning because it puts it into your mind. And all of a sudden you're living into that space. Or if you're at the gym, the girl I was talking to, the Witch of Wall Street, she's wonderful. She was talking about she's into this new fitness routine and she's doing a lot more lifting than she used to do. And she'll literally like have a break between her sets. And it's so short that she can look at that and she knows that's her break. And if you're constantly pulling that every time you like go to scroll on social media or whatever kind of you're doing to distract, look at that first and it imprints it into your mind. And that's because our subconscious, you know, speaks to images and emotions.
Okay. I love this so much and I'm going to do this.
I know. It's on my to-do list. I think I heard it like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I am obsessed. I want to do it.
I know very little about Canva, but I even simple. If it's like
It's so simple.
Even if it's like Photoshop. One of my best friends made a vision board where she printed out, or it was from a magazine or something, a picture of the Ellen Show. And there was like a guest on the Ellen Show. I don't know, it was like Gwyneth Paltrow or Drew Barrymore or something on the Ellen Show. And she cut out a photo of her own face and put it on the guest. So it looked like she was just like laughing with Ellen on the stage. I was like, that's brilliant.
I've done that on book covers. That is totally brilliant, especially if it's something you see. But there's something about like adding the music to it and the actual movement of it that really helps, I think, to just like change this neural path. Yeah, change those neural pathways so that you really feel it.
Okay, we're going to take one more break. And when we come back, I want to ask you a little bit more about writing.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
I wanted to kind of circle back a little bit to writing, because I have found that whether you're journaling or whether, and I also wanted to say this really quick about journaling can be like one or two sentences. Mm-hmm. I've had periods of my life where it was in that journal that I just told you about, where I was doing like the 10 goals plus like gratitudes. Also part of that was journaling. And it was just like whatever like positive motivating sentence I felt like I needed to hear, the first thing that popped into my mind, that's what I would write down. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool. I should read some of them on the podcast, because it was just like so interesting, like what was coming to me. The reason I ask this is because I think that many times that journaling is an act of spirituality. Like it is like truly tuning into this bigger energy that is outside of us that we can't explain. And so I know you said you didn't grow up religious. So can you talk about like the whole concept of sort of owning your spirituality and your spirit?
Well, I think with spirituality, we have to get away from like, I'm this or I am that, or like owning it, you know, I'm spiritual because of religion, or I'm spiritual because I meditate. Spirituality is like an everyday practice, is what I'm learning. Now, this has been about 7 or 8 years of really finally allowing myself to go there. It's something I've always been called to, knowing that there's a higher purpose. And I think one of the best ways to get in touch with it. Now, like I said, I am a writer, you're a writer, so of course we're going to gravitate towards the pen. But that first thought that pops into your mind, writing it down, that's usually your spirit. Your first reaction to anything is usually your spirit. You talked about right now going for writing, or not writing, for walks. And that is such a huge way to connect to your spirit. It's, you're going left, right with your feet. It's a rhythm in your brain that helps your nervous system regulate, and it helps get you into that mind of your spirit. And that inspiration that we all get when we're like dreaming, driving, we're going into those like hypnotic spaces when we're not thinking, it comes in so often because that's your spirit. We're not clouding it. We're not putting judgment on it. We're not putting anything outside approval on it. You know, it's just really how we feel within. And I look at our spirit. We all have one. I look at it as a little pilot light. It's a little thing that lights us up inside. Like, what makes you excited? Creativity is one of the best ways to connect that spirit, whether you're a painter, whether you're a writer. I mean, just moving your body, whether you want to dance, you know, whatever it is, music, all those things help you tap into it. And the biggest thing I could say is watch your children. If you don't have children, watch other children. They are the most spiritually connected people on this planet. we come in so connected to our spirit, and it's all the you should do this or all the different stories that are told to us in our upbringing that take us away from our spirit and make us question everything we feel drawn to or what we want to do. So if we can go back to that childlike innocence of ourselves, then we can really connect to our true nature and what we came here on the planet to do. Now, there's a lot of other aspects. I'm so fascinated now getting into like astrology and human design and like why we are the way we are. But our spirit is what's living inside of us and that lights us up, that gives us our purpose, that makes us want to do whatever it is we want to do in life. And when we're not following it, that's when like we become disgruntled. That's when we feel lost. That's when, you know, we dive into that negativity trap. And I'm not Pollyanna. I'm not walking around rainbows and sunshine at all, but I know when I am, I'm not connected to my spirit. So it's kind of like taking that breath, taking that moment and like, okay, what brings me joy? Goes back to what we talked about. That's a hard question, but get quiet and like, just start having fun. We're missing fun.
Definitely that can be a big part of it. It doesn't need to be heavy and like super esoteric and those types of things. But I love that you said that last part. I just want to ask you one more question before we wrap up. How do you talk about life purpose? Because I definitely have my own take on it. Mm-hmm. And how do you, when someone comes to you and says like, ugh, I feel so purposeless. Like, how do I find my life purpose? What is your answer to that?
What lights you up? It comes back to spirituality. Mm-hmm. I don't think our purpose has to be changing the world, like solving hunger. I think it's
for what we do for a living.
Yeah. I think purpose is all about like, what brings you joy in life? What gets you going? Why do you want to get up in the morning? And so many of us, it sounds really simple, but I think so many of us don't follow that we feel our life is purposeless because we haven't followed our dreams. Like seriously, go back to what you wanted as a child. When you know you got asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? When I was five and in a beauty pageant, I still have this. It's like, I said, I wanted to be Tinkerbell. Like, why am I not Tinkerbell? Yeah, I'm not a fairy. I'm not going to be flying around on wings and spreading fairy dust. But, you know, live into what that is. Tinkerbell's fun. She's lighthearted. Yeah, she's creative. Mm-hmm. What's that energy? You know, I mean, so often even you ask kids now, it's like, what do you want to be? They say what their parents are. But like, if you really get them going, like, it's always something fun and elaborate and creative. And that's your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Find that little spark.
I wanted to be an ice cream truck driver. And I think it was because I love people. I love talking to people. I love helping people and making them happy and like making them, you know, laugh. And I love ice cream. So, and I'm a good driver.
Well, there you go. You love to make, I mean, who doesn't like ice cream? It makes you happy. So you want to make people happy. So find the essence of whatever that is. I want to bring the magic. That's what Tinkerbell is. Magic.
The essence of it. I love that. Yeah. I say something parallel, I think. And it's just that I think that first people get so hung up on it being one thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's this like one thing, whether it's like they are writing this book or curing cancer or, you know, saving orphans or something like that. And I think that's for some people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that my work, like what I do for a living is my purpose. I don't think motherhood is my purpose. I think my purpose is true. I truly feel this in my soul. Is to, like we were talking about at the beginning of the conversation, is to grow and learn and listen to my intuition because it's always trying to guide me. Like I feel, and I know that this isn't everyone's belief and this isn't for everyone, I feel that our souls get put here in different lifetimes and different lifetimes to learn different lessons. I think certain people get put in front of us to learn different lessons that we've known in another lifetime. And it's up to us to either resist that and like go kicking and screaming and just have a really hard time with it, which is where I like to spend the most of my time, to be honest. Or we could do it the easier way, which is look for the life lessons, listen to our gut, have hard conversations, change when necessary. Like that's our purpose, and to like help other people along the way and don't be an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
That's my purpose.
I mean, I agree with you 1,000%. I strongly subscribe to that belief. We are brought here to learn these lessons. People are put in our places, but it just comes back to also the manifestation, being aware. If you're aware of it, then you're going to lean into that growth, whether it's hard or you're taking the simple way. I had a mentor say this to me one time. Whether you decide to go up and over the mountain or around the mountain, you're going to get to the same place. You choose your path. Maybe your soul wants to take the harder path because you need to experience that pushback for whatever reason. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We do. Mm-hmm. Will we ever know?
Emotionally beat up along the way. Yeah, I like doing that too. Well, we have to wrap up. So can you tell people where to find you? I know you have your own podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have Intentional Living with Courtney Myers. That's on all podcast sites. I really push towards YouTube because I come from a video production background. So check me out there, but you can find it on Spotify, iTunes, all the places. Reach me on my website, CourtneyMyers.com, which is going to be shortly going through a revamp to get a little bit more to know me. It's something that keeps coming up that like, I've been a platform for so many other people, but like, who am I? So you'll find me there. And of course on social media, intentional.courtney across the board. So I'm on all
of those. I follow you on Instagram. I love your posts.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. And listeners, thank you much so much for your time. You know how grateful I am for it. And remember, it's our life's journey to make ourselves better humans and our life's responsibility to make the world a better place. Bye for now. Hey everyone, thanks again for listening. I would be so incredibly grateful if you haven't done so already, if you could leave a review of this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Super easy if you already listen to your shows over there. But if you don't, or maybe you have the app on your phone, but you listen to the show on a different app, if you could leave a review for this show, it matters so much. I wish I could express how much it matters. I also wish that it didn't matter so much, but alas, it does. So if you haven't already, please go review and rate the show. It would mean so much to me. And thank you so much. I hope you have an amazing day.
Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're Amy more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.